Good morning, website viewers, the video viewers out there. We are continuing on here with, actually it's kind of a sermon series within a sermon series. Let's do a quick little review here. We started out with despising and destroying the concept or the fact, not concept, but the fact that there's no truth coming from pulpits today. And we started it by going back to looking at the Old Testament for when it was, they had no shepherds. And, you know, we learned that these people were troubled. We learned that these people were scattered. We learned that his people were meat to the enemy. And we just did some scriptural looks to see what's some of the background of this thing is. We're supposed to learn from the Old Testament. Ezekiel 34, we looked at the millennium that Christ has promised, God has promised for the Jews eventually, certainly not yet. We saw in Jeremiah 23 how the people rejected God's words, and they all said that God told them to say this, and Jeremiah said, no, well, God did not send you to do this. It's like these people today, these pastors today that said, well, you know, God has told me how to correct the Bible. God has told me what's wrong with your Bible. God has told me he's not quite right in his scripture, so I'll tell you what's the truth. And they're rejecting his words, and God did not tell these guys today to do what they're doing. That's just according to the scriptures they carry around with them, even the King James guys. No. We can mix them all together. It's okay because you need me to be your teacher, but you know your story here. Then we looked at Paul, what he says. Well, we started to look at Paul. That he was at what he says about the pastors today during this dispensation of grace. And he's very detailed, hard on them. And so we thought we would go through that. We got as far as many instructors, few fathers. And we saw what it is to be a father. We're to not only exhort and not only to charge our children, but we're to comfort them. And the only way that parents know to comfort kids today is to buy them stuff. And then we got the fathers that don't comfort at all. They cause their children unrest. Kind of a power thing for them or something. I don't know. But it doesn't... It's what scatters everybody away from the family. It's what scatters away from the world's... well, not from the world, but from the truth. It scatters them to the world. Then we got into a bunny trail about the deceptions that these pastors are preaching. Because we had looked at the fact that Paul preaches without a wisdom of words. He doesn't have to put his words together to make it work. We just looked to the scriptures. So as we did that, I just started looking at these deceptions that the pastors are preaching from the pulpit. And it is so true what Paul says about these guys. He says that they, by good words and fair speeches, they deceive the hearts of the simple. And they do. It says, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. And all these guys carry all these people that don't know what's going on. They toss to and fro with every wind of doctrine kind of a thing. And it's taken place. Says here that these evil men and seducers, that's quite a statement, evil men and seducers. And these are the pastors in our pulpits. And I've been trying to get people to realize, sure, we love them, blah, 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 but they're lying. They're teaching deceptions from the pulpit, and people are choosing to stay with these deceivers, with their fair speeches, with these men who are lying in wait to deceive them, and they want to show us different ways. They don't think it's right. God told them it's not the way to go anymore. And they're going to get worse and worse. And it says, there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision. That's his own people. And the same thing comes up with us. The people that we are, that could possibly supposedly be saved are the pastors, and these guys are vain talkers, profane and vain babblers. They're not following the scriptures at all. And people are being bewitched, and people are being beguiled, according to Galatians and Corinthians, and on and on. So what we're gonna do, we're just gonna continue here this morning. And we're gonna continue with these deceptions. And so far, what we've been over here so far, we've looked at ignorant worship, which is huge today. I mean, everybody just goes to everybody's church to worship. And people are satisfied going to these churches to do their music. I mean, I know some folks that are going to be involved in this kind of stuff, and they don't have to be, but they're going to be. They choose to go this route. It affects the family if they don't. Ignorant worship. It's just the power of music being manipulating people to get them to come to church. Oh, it just disturbs me. I might do a music message here pretty soon. Anyway, we looked at the wrong importance of church attendance by them going to Hebrews 10:25. Well, that's not the reason. That's not the reason at all. We looked at the wrong purpose of the church, comparing Acts 2 with Ephesians 4, how the churches today are gearing themselves to attract the lost to church. And the only way they can do that is to do what the lost do. It's to dress like the lost dress. It's to behave and act and party and entertain like the lost. Maybe they'll come over to our site and change with us. What? The people that are changing their church to attract the lost, they're not changer from the world. What does the world have to change to? Nothing. That's why they come to our church. It is such a bogus religion anymore from these pulpits. Then we looked at the fact that everybody thinks that God loves everyone. We know that God loved everyone, but if they haven't received His Son, then they don't have God's love. So that's a misnomer. Is that the right word? Misnomer. And then we did a couple of verses here on these popish pastors we have today, just again, some sidelight things. They go to Hebrews 13:7-17. They're ministers of righteousness. They're the devil's ministers in 2 Corinthians 11. Like I said, they're preaching profane and vain babblings. They're destitute of the truth, God says, and they suppose the gain is godliness. And so does everybody else, because if you've got enough people coming to your church, if there's enough money or whatever, then that proves that it's from God. I'm not sure that if the fact that you don't have any money for your stuff proves that it's from God. Okay, so let's look at some new ones here today. New ones. And these are quickies here. These are, well, the last one I guess might take a few minutes, but let's get it going here. Number six here. You've heard this before. People say, and the people say, they say, you know, well, you know, we're created in God's image, you know, and so we should live a sinless, perfect life because we are in the image of God. And no, that's not true. That isn't true. Let's go to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. I think I'm going too far back to Genesis 1, but we're just going here. Let's check it out here. Probably got the wrong. I think it's Genesis chapter 2, actually, but maybe not. No, it's right. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Now, we'll see it here. And he says, and God said in verse 26, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Bunny trail to a thing here. I like where it says our image. There's your Trinity right there. Our image, after our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them. Okay, so there's where this thing gets its start. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And that's still today. This whole curse thing that we get into in chapter 2 and chapter 3 still exists today. Let's go to Genesis chapter 5 and look at verse 1. Now we have to know what takes place in chapter 2, 3, and 4, especially 2 and 3. Especially 3. For things have changed. Enmity between thee and the woman, greatly multiply thy sorrow and conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children. And this is chapter 3. And thy desire shall be to thy husband. He shall rule over thee. This still exists. This curse still exists. And I won't get into this, but I will say the fact that the man, the woman's desire to be over the, to be thy, shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. They try to fight all this stuff. They're trying to fight the curse that's been put on them. Well, they can't fight it all, but they can take pills so something stops on that monthly basis. And they're ruling over the husbands and ruling over the world. And we're, you know, they're trying to change this thing. Same thing with the guys. We have to are cursed above the cattle and above every beast of the field. No, that's the snake there. Sorry, the devil here. Where are we at here? Oh, there we go. Thorns and thistles. cursed is the ground for thy sake. And we try to chemical it and make it so it isn't cursed. We do our best, but we're going to fight that every year. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. In sorrow we shall eat of the ground, is what he's saying. It's a constant battle. Now, I'll say it just for the record here. I still don't understand why women choose to take on man's curse as well as their own curse, but I guess that just says it all. Thorns and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and the sweat of thy face. So there's what happens there. So there's been a change. Adam has changed. So we go to chapter 5, verse 1. Remember, we're talking about, are we created in God's image? Well, this is the book of the generations of Adam. It says, in the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him. Male and female created he them, and blessed them, and called their name Adam. Okay, verse 3, and Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness after his image. People forget that Adam has fallen. All the stuff has crashed now. So Adam's image is different than it was when it was created. So we may be in the image of God, but it's a fallen, crashed image. So we're really not in the image of God. Look at Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. Who being, meaning speaking of Christ, of course, by his Son, verse 2. Verse 3, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. So Christ is the image of God. Adam, what, the first Adam? Adam was the image of God. He crashed, he fell. Now Jesus Christ himself is the image of God. Look at Colossians 1, verse, look at Colossians chapter 1. Colossians 1, verse 15. Again, speaking of Christ here, his dear son in verse 13. Verse 15, it says, who is the image of the invisible God? Okay, so the image of God is Christ, not us. But if we go to Philippians chapter 3, we see, come on, let's get over here. Verse 21, who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body. We will be in the image of God again. But not now. Not at all now. We have air conditioning. We have fertilizer. We have tons of stuff that's trying to take the curse away from us, but it doesn't happen. We have the women trying to do the man's curse. We don't have the men trying to do the woman's curse, but there are enough perverts out there that, I guess I shouldn't say that, they're wearing the, you know, the changing clothes, and they're thinking men can have babies, and it's just a manipulated surgery is all that is. It's not God's design. It's not, anyway, it goes against nature. It doesn't matter that it goes against nature. Homosexuality goes against nature, but so does long hair on a man. So what's the difference for preaching? They both go against nature. You don't even need a verse that says that. It's just, I mean, there's a verse that says that, but you don't need that thing. It's just the way this stuff was made. It's nature. Man has the short hair, works hard. Women have the long hair. It's part of their glory. And they stay home and they take care of the kids and have kids. And there's all sorts of variations because we're such a cursed world that people get cancer. People get things. People that are just serving God beautifully, magnificently, still get sick. They still get killed. I mean, things happen. Babies die. Why would the baby do wrong? Nothing. This is just the curse of the world we're living under. So don't get mad at God. He didn't make this thing happen like this. This is not his doing. It's our doing. Okay. So look at 2 Peter 2:20. See, here's one of the things that people then think they can do. 2 Peter 2:20, 2:12. Maybe it's 2:20. It is 20. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. See, this world is cursed, and we spend all our Christianity and our homeschooling and our home churches and stuff. We think that we can escape this wicked, perverse, cursed, polluted world. No, we can't escape it. We can avoid, we can withdraw from, we can have no company with. Yeah, we can do all that stuff, and we're supposed to do all that stuff. If your pastor preaching lies, you don't go there. It's just that simple. And I don't know why it takes a Bible to tell people that. We don't go to restaurants because we don't like their food. We don't go to restaurants because of the cooks. We don't go to the restaurants because of the waitresses. We don't go to the restaurants because of atmosphere. I mean, all these sorts of reasons tie in. But we choose not to go to those restaurants, especially if the food tastes bad. But then again, sometimes you go to these restaurants and the food is good. We just don't like healthy food. So we still blame it. Anyway, it's a whole other typology there, which we'll stay away from. Okay, so 2 Peter 2:20, we can't escape from the pollutions of this world. Like I said, we can avoid and everything, but the only reason that they can do that in the tribulation is in Acts 2:17, where they have the Spirit of God upon their flesh. Those are your verses for Acts 2:17. And it came to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. Upon all flesh. That's how they'll be able to escape the pollutions. They won't go off to work. They won't go to these places that are deceiving. They won't do the stuff that makes them do wrong. But they'll starve unless they can take care of themselves. And they need to go to church to encourage each other to, as the day is approaching of Christ coming, they need to be there to help each other best they can because they need to survive. We don't have that today. Christ took us out of this world spiritually. Our soul is clean, but our flesh, man, our flesh has still got the garbage in it. Our flesh still has the sin in it. And that sin still is doing things. We're not, sin is, that's what Paul says. So if we're not in God's image today, take him to Genesis, show him where Adam is no longer in God's image, and everybody's made in his image from here on out, and yet someday we will be made in God's image. Boy, because Christ is God's image, and we'll be made like unto Christ. So, there's that one. Hear that all the time, don't you? Oh, we're created in God's image. Let's just make ourselves worthwhile. Oh, please. Let's look at another one. Another easy one. Let's go to Romans chapter 11. Well, everybody talks about the fact, everybody, any denomination, almost any religion even, they say somebody's coming soon. You know, the Christian religions say that Jesus is coming. Well, the Arab religions say that Muhammad is coming. Everybody's got this idea that we know somebody is coming anyway. Whoever comes is going to prove what's right. Right? So if Muhammad comes, we're all going to jump over and be Islamic. And if Jesus comes, they're all going to jump over and be a Christian? No, they're going to try to kill him. Crazy. But Romans 11:22. Yes, I think the next biggest thing we have is Jesus is coming. No doubt. But Romans 11:22 is just my favorite verse for the rapture. Because we're not looking for Jesus coming to this earth yet to do what he has to do according to, well, I will save the reference here. We know what it is, so. We're not looking for that one. Because Romans 11:22 tells us that there's going to come a time that the Gentiles, of which Christ has gone to the Gentiles now through Paul, there's a time when the God is going to be done with the Gentiles, done with the heathen, done having everything handed to them on a platter. All they have to do is believe and trust and follow, and we got it all. Great time, because it's totally based on faith. We don't see. In fact, in John, let's see here, in John, the last chapter here? I don't think it is the last chapter. I think it's the almost the last chapter. It says here, yeah, but these are written that you might believe. No, that's not the one. Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. That's what the Jews had to see. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. See, that's us. We haven't seen, yet we believe. And God rewards that faith by everything that he was having for the Jews, he's given it to us. Okay, so anyway. But this has to come to an end. It has to come to an end before he comes. Hebrews to Jude has to be Jewish teachings because they're all written to the Jews. Hebrews, James to the 12 tribes. You read through 1st and 2nd Peter. Peter was the apostle to the Jews, the circumcision. Jude, same thing. So something has to take place here before Jesus really is coming next as far as the religions and the world is concerned. Well, Romans 11:22, and of course 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 14 to 18, that's the classic verses people go to, but they don't go to Romans 11:22. When is this rapture going to take place? It's going to take place when the Gentiles, the heathen, are no longer interested in the goodness of God. And we know that the goodness of God is only referred to by Paul, for the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. Not the judgment, not the fear, not the chastisement of the goodness of God. And that's Paul's message. So, yeah, Jesus is coming. Rapture. I don't even like to call it rapture anymore, because so many people have come and gone to that rapture thing. It's been made mockery of in movies and TV and the news, and these doofuses preachers down there that say, you know, that's going to take place on such and such, and then it doesn't. Ruckman is just as guilty. I mean, he got me excited about it for years. And he always said if the calendar is correct. Well, apparently the calendar is not correct, because Ruckman was wrong. I liked his teaching on this whole concept of when the rapture is going to take place, but he just doesn't know where to put it on the calendar. Well, you know, fine. In the meantime, we've all done what we've done, expecting the rapture, hoping for the rapture. We love his appearing, as it says. Paul says, no, I think we love our disappearing. Well, I'm okay to go. And I like to see him, but I'm going to feel pretty crummy when I see him. So we need to love his appearing. How can we love his appearing if we realize who we really are? Because we have to realize what he's done to us. And he's taken care of that stuff. So we really should love his appearing. Because he's taken care of all the garbage in our lives. He's cut us from our flesh. When we see him, we won't be in our flesh. So there's no reason for us not to love his appearing. It's okay to love our disappearing too, to a point. Because I sure am anxious to go. I kind of hope, kind of disappointed now the dogs don't go to heaven, but I suppose when I get there, I'm not going to be thinking about little Max here very much. So, anyway, but now, here's my real question, though. We handle the rapture thing, okay, when he's done with the Gentiles, he's going back to the Jews, and that's the tribulation. Okay, that's fine. But now, when is Jesus going to come? The actual coming? And I have to ask people, is it Revelation chapter 6 or is it Revelation chapter 19? Because Revelation chapter 6, somebody's coming. Coming on a white horse and the whole thing. So is it 6? Well, of course it's not Revelation 6. That's the Antichrist. So where does the real Jesus... If real Jesus shows up in Revelation 19. But barring, you know, not doing the complete study as such, what's all going to be taking place when Jesus comes? We go back to Matthew 24 and you find out what's going to be taking place. Is that stuff taking place? We have an earthquake or two. We have, you know, a hurricane comes in and blows down a wall that man built. And from what we understand, man even destroyed the wall. We know that they're out there dinking around with the weather and the clouds, the harp thing, H-A-A-R-P or whatever. And we know they're twinkling with the weather. We know why they know there's a big storm coming to some areas, because in many cases they've created it. So they know they're about to destroy. So, and we're digging around with stuff we ought not be. We know there's a whole string of volcanoes on the West Coast. They haven't all gone off at once. One went off in 1980, I think it was. That was just a little burp, if even it's a little hiccup from nature, as they would say, for what the destruction it caused. We got this tsunami in Japan. We've got all this tsunami down in the southeast, in the wherever that was at, India, whatever. All those little Buddhist people down there. I didn't see Buddha rescuing those people. I didn't see Jesus coming down and rescuing people either. Nobody saw anything that proves that God is God, because we still got to go by faith. And garlics down there in the garlics Daizan, or is it Daizan garlics now, I can't remember, down in the Philippines, he just wrote to me the other day, and he said, man, I see what you've been trying to tell me for years about the Paul thing. And he's excited, he's finally getting it. But this guy's been in major floods where it destroyed everything he owned. And now they're having another flood down there, and it's just rough. And we don't have the money to help him, and it's just hard. So where's God? Is this God's judgment? No, this isn't God's judgment. You know, we haven't had the rapture yet. He's still showing us Paul. We still got a Bible. It's not to the famine stages almost, but we still have him available. We know where to go to get him still. and these things that are happening in the world, there's nothing compared to what Jesus says about what it's going to be like when he finally does come. We haven't had any of that stuff yet. I think we've talked about this, that you start looking around, it's almost like we see signs. We see more and more things that are written in the tribulation books, Hebrews to Jude, that will be last days, will be the times when Jesus is coming. And we see more of those things taking place little by little by little. So it's getting ready. This world is getting ready for the coming of Jesus? No. The anti-Jesus, the Antichrist. And when he comes, the world will just welcome it. We are so glad to see you. We knew something would come by. We knew you'd come eventually. We just can't handle this financial system. We just don't have the food anymore. And the place is a disaster. And, you know, they'll love it when it comes, but it isn't the real Jesus. But everybody's talking about Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. The music is about Jesus is coming. No, you got the wrong one coming still. You got Jesus to come for the rapture. You got the Antichrist to still show up. The world's got to fall apart, and then Jesus is coming. I don't want to wait around for that one. I'd rather come back with him than to be there when he comes back. Okay, here's another live coming from the pulpit. They always say, let's go to Hebrews chapter 9. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 9. They're partially true about it, but they just don't explain it to their people clean enough. And if it's not all true, it's still a deception. It's still a fair speech. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. As it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Okay, two things. One is they say that means you have an appointment. There's a certain time God's got it paid when you're going to die. It doesn't say that. Nowhere does it say that. It says we are appointed, we're going to die. That's what it says. Then it also, so we get that fixed, get that straightened out. Then the next point here is the judgment. What judgment are you talking about here? Most people would say, well, what do you mean, which judgment? You know, when we see God, he's going to judge us. Well, can we break this thing down and get an idea? You have such a sad understanding of your God. You are ignorant of your unknown God. You know nothing about him. We got two judgments that we read about. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, of course. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We realize that this is for Christians. This is what Paul talks about. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 is one place. Talks just about the details of it all. According to the grace of God, verse 10, unto me, Paul, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation. Do we have the foundation of Jesus Christ, which it says here in verse 11, know that man now that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Do we have the Jesus Christ that Paul laid or the one that Peter laid? Is that maybe how you can get another Jesus, is to take the one that Peter presents? I think so. I think you've got to get your foundation from Paul. You've got to be reading your Paul books and understand that, sure, it's the same Jesus talked about in the Gospels, but that's not the one you're seeking. You're seeking the one that has risen. And Paul lays that foundation. And another buildeth thereon, but every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. Nobody's taking heed how they build on this foundation they have. They're just happy to have a foundation. Nobody cares about their standards. Nobody cares about sound doctrine in Titus. Nobody cares about this stuff anymore. So no pastor is preparing their people for their judgment. Well, we're saved. Are you sure? Let's assume they are. Okay, get over that whole thing. But if you are saved and you get a church full of saved people, you're supposed to be helping these guys build on this foundation, not sit around and be happy for this foundation and go tell people about your foundation and sit there on this wide open concrete floor and be happy there. Yeah, I'm glad we got this concrete floor down, but now let's build something. No, let's just this is such nice concrete. It's so smooth and it's so nice, you know, and it's never going to fall apart. And no, Dad, can we build something on this foundation? No, let's build something. Oh, I suppose let's go to town and find these guys that tell us how to build stuff. And these guys talk about how to get that foundation, and people go to church listening to how to build a foundation. Well, they've already supposedly got a foundation. Dad, can we go someplace that tells us how to build something? Be quiet, son. This guy is such a nice guy. And he's telling us how such a nice foundation we have. Isn't that just great? Dad, let's build something. Okay, son, go down there and get a bunch of wood and some hay and some stubble, and let's build something. At least straw houses that you can buy now. You ever seen those? You can buy these houses made out of straw bales. You know, what a classic. What a classic blunder. I mean, it's just right up there with the three little pigs, you know? And again, people are going to pay thousands and thousands of dollars for these houses made of straw, and the wolf is going to come and huff and puff and blow that thing down, and you're going to get mad at God. It's crazy stuff, isn't it? Every man's work shall be made manifest. Now, there we go. There's what this is about. They're not taught this. And what is man's work based on? Romans 2:16. Paul says, my gospel. Sure, Jesus Christ is the judge, but he's going to be using what he told to Paul. Romans 2:16. This is classic stuff. This is fantastic stuff. And yet, we go on our way. You know, we let leaven tear us down. We let those things happen. We just don't. Our mind is not geared for the judgment seat of Christ. It's geared for tonight. It's geared for in the morning. It's geared for the next paycheck to pay off our stupid bills that none of us can pay for anymore. And that's all we're concerned about. We're not concerned about is our walk pleasing God based on Paul, Romans 2:16, and all the things that Paul teaches, especially Timothy and Titus. That's us, you know. Look at 2 Corinthians 5:10. Well, did I do enough on that thing there? We're not going to burn. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved. So we're okay. Anyway, Romans 2:16. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Here's another one, same thing. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. For it must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he has done, whether it be good or bad. Sure, God's going to judge what's good and bad. He's going to judge our works as good or bad, not us as good or bad. Our flesh is bad. Our person, we're good. We're good. He made us good. So let's not be ashamed of his appearing. Anyway, let's go to Romans chapter 4. People can knock this rapture thing all they want, and the judgment and stuff, but this all takes place before the big judgment. And Romans chapter, let's have another verse too. Look at Romans chapter 4, verse 10. How was it to reckon with 4:10? Where are we at here? 4:10-13. Romans 4. No, I want Romans 14 is what I want. Not 4, but 14. Verse 10, why dost thou judge thy brother? Why dost thou set it not thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. We're talking brothers. We're talking the Christians here. So, Romans 2:16. Then I was also thinking of Romans chapter 2. See, we got the lost people. They got something to worry about. But why would they worry? God's not spanking them now. God's not putting any judgment on them. There is no judgment on lost people today, no matter what happens. None. Because in verse 5 of Romans chapter 2, but after thy hardness and impenitent heart treasurest up them to thyself, this is the lost people, wrath against the day of wrath or revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds. Our deeds, we are separated from our deeds, but we will still be rendered according to our deeds. But when our deeds burn, we won't. When these people, the lost people's deeds burn, they are not dead. They are still part of their sins. They're still part of their body. They will burn with their deeds. They will render based on their works. They have no faith. And so they're not made separated. They're not clean. They're not spiritually circumcised. They will burn with their works. We won't. So why don't they talk about this stuff? This is. But after this, the judgment. Okay, when you die, what do you got coming up? Well, we've got the judgment seat of Christ. And if I can remember this correctly, we'll be at the white throne judgment. Look at Daniel. I think it's in Daniel. I know it's in Daniel. I think it's Daniel 9, actually. But you guys know my knowledge, Daniel 7. Verse 9. We will be at the judgment of God to the world. But we're not going to be in the judgment. We're just going to be at it. A.T. I beheld till the thrones, verse 9, 7, verse 9. I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like the pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from him. Thousands ministered unto him, that's us, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him, that's them. The judgment was set, and the books were opened. We'll be there. We just won't be in it. We'll be at it. So there's this, they lie to the people about the judgment of God. Okay. Now let's do one more thing. We got a couple. Let's do one more thing here for this morning. Another lie from the pulpit is we can fix America. We can fix the way things are going. Serious? Oh, yeah. Let's look here at 2 Chronicles chapter 7. Church people out there, 2 Chronicles chapter 7. If we just pray, let's just gather around the flagpole, let's just all get together before work starts, let's just break down our denomination, our denominational and our doctrinal issues. Let's just get together and let's just pray and worship. Remember, they throw in worship nowadays. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, 14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Let's just all get down our hands and knees, America, and let's just pray and seek God's face. First of all, they don't know how to seek his face. That's the King James Bible. But beyond that, it's a little late for this one. We know that. Well, let's go to this one then. Okay, then we made enough money off of that prayer for a while. Let's go to this one. Let's go to 1 Chronicles chapter 4. Well, here's one. This is a neat prayer. 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verse 10. Let's look at this thing. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, Oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and thou wouldst keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. And God granted him all that he requested. So if you pray this prayer over and over and over, and get these books that tell you how to pray better, and all this kind of stuff, you go down to the local Christian bookstore, and you can wear little crosses and little plaques and pins that tell you how to remind yourself of that prayer. You can put a little rock in your pocket, if you like, and remind you to pray this prayer. And God will, he will grant him your wish, and will fix this America. Really. Well, we know better than that. How about this one? Let's go to Genesis chapter 12. Okay, let's go to Genesis chapter 12. Maybe this is what we need to do to fix America. Genesis chapter 12. Because after all, we know that Jesus isn't coming until things are fixed up for him. We go to Genesis chapter 12, where it talks about Abram here. You know, get thee out of thy country. And verse 2, and I will make thee a great nation. I will bless thee and make thy name great. Thou shalt be a blessing, and I will bless them that bless thee. Oh. Well, we're losing a lot of support of Israel lately, aren't we? The presidents are taking away this and that, whatever. So we're just in a real trouble spot there, aren't we? So maybe we need to bless Israel, and God will bless our nation. Let's go back and give Israel. I'm all for supporting Israel, by the way, but not for this reason. Because, why? Because Romans chapter 4 tells me otherwise. I see in Romans chapter 4 that we can have what Abraham had based on faith. So the blessing that Abraham's going to have for all these nations isn't the fact that if we give him money and jets and missiles and stuff, then that country will be blessed. It's the fact that we will hear what Abraham heard. And that was about imputation. It was imputed to him for righteousness, verse 22 of chapter 4. But now it was not written for his sake alone that was imputed to him, but for us also. There's the blessing of Abraham. There's where if we, learn from what Abraham came. He'll bless us. He'll bless our nation. What if our nation got a hold of this stuff? Well, it's not going to. Well, wait a minute. You know, you're saying that Abraham, he's got the message of imputation. Yeah, how many hear about that sort of a thing? So can this country have it? Well, yeah, we could. But there's something that's going. There's something that has to happen here. There is. Yeah, go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. We see in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 that verse 3, that let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, you know, when Christ is coming, except they're coming and falling away first, and the Antichrist will come. So how can we fix America if this is the design? And I'll go to these pastors that say to people, our church is growing. Oh, it is. You mean, are you talking about gain is godliness to you? Well, no. Well, and I've asked this question for years. How can our church be getting bigger if everything's supposed to be falling apart? What are we doing wrong that's making people want to come to our church? Well, we've got swimming activities now. Oh, I see. We have coffee, fancy coffees. We have this great... We have somebody build somebody in Rapid City here. In the last couple of weeks, they've finished some fancy, smancy church place. And the pastor said, I told him, if we build it, they'll come. If we build it, they'll come. Well, they're coming right now. I'm anxious to see this place in a year. It might be the hot spot in town, but they're not doing the right thing. They're not preaching truth at all. People are going to believe that their gain is showing that that church is one godly church, and they love everybody, and they play guitar and sing and all this. You know, it's just, they build it and people are coming. Yeah, because, anyway. Well, 1 Thessalonians 5:3, look at this thing. Here's something else that we could be having. How can we fix America here? Well, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 3, let's talk about peace and safety. What are we talking about today? Peace in this world? You know, I just argue with people. If all America has no business, like Ron Paul says, policing other nations. It's just not our business. And if they want to attack us, well, let's just make sure they realize that we will thunk them down with 25 nukes and it won't bother us any. Who are they to tell people in America you can't have guns? They're telling the same thing in the world. You can't have guns. You can't have nuclear bombs. In the meantime, we're getting rid of all of ours. Let's just stay with what we had. Let's put those missiles back in the ground in South Dakota, and let's aim them for all these countries. And if you tweak us one more time, we're going to send you a flying flower from heaven. And that's how we stay powerful. That's how we win. It's how we won before. Anyway. Who's got the biggest gun? Who's got the most bombs? That's how you rule this place. Well, Jesus Christ has the biggest guns, and he's got the most bombs. So when the time comes, he will come and he will take care of it himself. You know, single-handedly take care of it himself while we're out there fighting with it. Or somebody will be fighting with him. It's amazing. So they talk about peace and safety. I am so tired of everybody trying to tell me how to be safe. Put on your seatbelt. You know, get rid of your guns. They'll be get rid of knives here eventually. The food thing, they don't care about the food safety because there's so much unsafety in food. They won't allow us to have our own safe food in the garden. So they're lying to us. Anyway. Look at Daniel chapter 11. Let's go back to Daniel chapter 11 here. Let's look at some stuff that's being said that everybody thinks we can fix America. Daniel chapter 11, he says in verse 21, for example, here, and in his estate, this is the Antichrist, shall stand up a vile person to whom they shall not give the honor of the kingdom, but he shall come in peaceably and obtain the kingdom by flatteries. Verse 23, and after the league made with him, so everybody sit down to this guy and they'll make a treaty, kind of a thing, he shall work deceitfully, for he shall come up and shall become strong with a small people. So the minorities are going to be running this guy. This guy's going to be working everything through the minorities. He shall enter peaceably. Oh, this is amazing stuff. This is how they think they can fix America to this day. Look at verse 32. And such as do wickedly against a covenant, shall he corrupt by flatteries. Verse 36, 34. He says he will cleave to them with flattery. Man shall cleave to them with flatteries. There's 36. There's all sorts of verses in here. Verse 36. And the king shall do according to his will, and he shall exalt himself and magnify himself above every god, and shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods, and shall prosper till the indignation he accomplished. Neither shall he regard the God of his fathers, nor the desire of women, nor regard any God. See, for he should magnify himself above all. See, this is what's happened in America. I mean, shall regard the God of his fathers. People don't want that, nor the desire of women. What's the desire of women? Remember, we saw that back in the curse. The desire of women is to man rule over them. That's their curse, and that's the desire that this guy is going to get rid of. Well, look at what he's done. Women are working, they're doing this, they're telling the husband that the whole thing is just reversed. This is exactly the way it's supposed to be. It's not the design, but the God. Well, the world was cursed. So we're not going to get any better. So these guys that are telling people that we're going to fix America, you know, vote for him, he'll fix America. No, he won't. Then they got this. Remember when Reagan said, Gorbachev or whatever, tear down this wall? That's what pastors are telling people, Christians. Tear down that wall of doctrine and let's make this a happy, peaceful country. Let's make this a Christianity of peace. After all, Jesus loves everybody. No, he loved everybody, John 3:16, but that's past tense. He loved, he offered his love, he's there, he did what he did once. And if they don't want it, they don't have his love. They've got his goodness, but they don't have his love, which is goodness. The goodness of God will lead to repentance. These people need to realize what God would do. And his goodness to a lost person is not to hammer them, is not to judge them right now, is to give them an opportunity. Opportunity to not to do right? No, opportunity to learn about the risen Savior through Paul. Put their trust and faith in him. Christ will do that operation. He'll give them that spiritual circumcision, the circumcision made without hands, operation made without hands. He'll fix the insides, and then we need to change our outsides. And then when the time comes, he will fix our outsides and we'll be in his image. That's how this thing whole works out. But until then, it's not going to get any better. And I'm telling you, people that are having babies and children, they better think twice, because it's getting harder and harder to teach them faith, because they want to see. And if a mom and dad don't live their faith so the children can see that, they will think that this, everything else is just a bunch of baloney. And it is, but they'll miss the truth. Anyway, we're up to nine deceptions from the pulpits. Ignorant worship, wrong importance of church attendance, wrong purposes of church, the lie that God loves everyone, the popish pastors, we're not created in God's image anymore, and six, seven... is Jesus is coming, yes, but not the way they teach it. And after this, the judgment, they have no clue about judgment. They don't even spell it right. Judgment does not have an E in it, by the way. J-U-D-G-M-E-N-T, not E-M-E-N-T. And then lastly, they teach people that God will bless America still if we just da-da-da-da. They're lies. They're deceptions. They're good words and fair speeches. But they're deceiving the hearts, and the people are very simple. They don't have a Bible to figure it out. The guys are lying to them. And it's just going to get worse and worse. It's not going to get any better. People are being bewitched and beguiled, and they're letting it happen, and they choose to go the easy route. That's what we're doing. Anyway, there's my positive sermon for the morning. We will continue with this thing tonight. We might be able to finish it up tonight, so we'll get back onto the real trail. We're off on trail B, which turned out to be a pretty long trail. But hey, we're out in the woods. We can make these trails. We can keep track. Just keep our eyes on the manual, and we'll know how to get back on the trails.